Well, this is a surprise.
Well,
I don't know how we've managed it, but Eddie, ex Motorhead,
with Lemmy.
Lemmy, ex Motorhead. And the new Lemmy of Motorhead.
This is Lemmy from Iron Maiden.
Bruce Dickinson from Saxton there. As you can see, this is the most serious show in Europe.
Hey, Mr. Tambourine Man, play a song for me.
So then, Eddie, my son.
We'll call mate. You. All right.
Yeah. Don't call me.
Go on, Des, you can speak to me. Anything.
Speak to me, Des.
All right.
But don't speak to him.
Say, Des.
If you speak to me, don't speak to him.
Say out, Des.
Is it really that bad?
Speak now, Des.
Real bad.
Shut up,
Des. Is it real bad between you and Lemmy?
Yeah,
it's really bad. There's a cushion and...
I'll never forgive him.
There's all this shit down the side here.
You never forgive him?
I never forgave him for the Wendy O. Williams singer.
He never forgave
him. Yeah, that's the reason.
But I never forgave him for other things, you know.
When the story behind this...
See what I have to put up with?
The story behind this is...
You don't have to anymore.
Lemmy released a Wendy O. Williams single. Eddie didn't like it, and off he went.
That's right.
Soaking. Off he went.
You're just reading from the biography, aren't you?
Well, I read it somewhere.
Yeah. Typical. Read his version. You
know. Let's hear Eddie's version.
Let's hear Eddie's version.
Was it really that bad, the single?
I liked it.
You obviously never heard it.
I liked it.
But it was terrible.
But anyway,
the thing was, Lem said, he said...
I hired you as a guitarist, didn't I?
Lem, you're going to die in a minute.
I know that.
Well, we'll wait till the car park. He said to me, he said, it's okay, Ed, we'll put this record out and it'll say, this is Motorhead, not including Eddie Clark.
But he wouldn't go for it.
That was the final insult, so I left.
Hey, you're listening to Rock and or Roll, I'm BJ. So I woke up this morning to the news that Fast Eddie Clark had passed away. And every single headline you see on the internet, it's former Motorhead member Fast Eddie Clark. Fast Eddie Clark from Motorhead. I'm going to let you in on a little secret here. I have always felt personally that Motorhead was a tad bit overrated. I like Motorhead fine, but people always talk about how every AC/DC song sounds the same. That may be true to a certain extent, but it's far more true with Motorhead. I can say this, they are definitely not one of my favorite bands. I enjoy Motorhead to a certain degree, but you know, for me, a lot of it's just the same thing over and over, and it gets kind of boring. My favorite Motorhead album is 1916 from 1991. Anyway, my point is, when I think about Fast Eddie Clark, the first thing that comes to mind is not Motorhead, it's Fastway, the band that he formed after he left Motorhead. Edward Allen Clark was born in London in 1950, started playing guitar seriously at the age of 15. Prior to joining Motorhead, he'd played in a band called The Bitter End, and then he joined a band called Curtis Knight Zeus that released a couple records in 73 and 74 The second record, Second Coming, is pretty cool, actually. Curtis Knight was an American musician who was known mostly for his connection to Jimi Hendrix. He was a singer in the 1960s Harlem R&B scene, usually fronting his own band, The Squires. In 1965, The Squires recorded some singles and demos with producer Ed Chalpin, and Jimi Hendrix was the guitar player. And Chalpin signed Jimi Hendrix to a management contract at that point, and Hendrix took off, left Curtis Knight in his dust. Went to England, formed the Jimi Hendrix Experience. And after Jimi Hendrix became famous, Curtis Knight used his notoriety of his connection to Jimi Hendrix to kind of move forward with his own career. And this is when he ended up with this band in England called Curtis Knight Zeus that Eddie Clark was a member of.
Dust-covered room. There's a stone in the doorway of the unknown tomb. Themselves for the first time, looking straight at me. There's a green train coming down a red railroad track, bringing some people home. They're gonna take somebody back.
eyes of a child, running wild, eyes of a child.
After Curtis Knight Zeus, Eddie Clark moved through some bands. Blue Goose and Continuous Performance were a couple of them before he eventually landed in Motorhead in 1976.
Cause I don't feel right. Cause I'm leaving, leaving here. I'm leaving.
The original guitar player in Motorhead was Larry Wallace from the Pink Fairies, but it was in March of 1976 that they decided they wanted two guitarists for the Motorhead sound, and that's when they auditioned Fast Eddie Clark. At this point, Larry Wallace was also reforming the Pink Fairies, so he ended up quitting soon after Eddie Clark was hired, and they were back to having just one guitarist. Eddie Clark's audition for Motorhead came about because Filthy Animal Taylor, the drummer, knew of Eddie Clark from a houseboat painting job that he had, where Eddie Clark was the foreman on the site, and he had talked to Filthy Animal about playing guitar in previous bands like Curtis Knight Zeus and Bitter End, etc. Lemmy Kilmister gave him the nickname Fast Eddie at an early Manchester gig. It was logical, Lemmy said. Eddie was a fast guitar player.
Treat him as a crying shame. One day, and it won't be long. Said old and crying chicks will be gone. Cause I'm leaving, leaving here. I'm leaving, leaving here. Two by two, yeah, four by four.
So this, of course, is considered the classic lineup of the band, and Eddie Clark would be the Motorhead guitar player for the next 5 years. This is a quote from Lemmy. After we got Eddie and Phil in, I knew we had something special. So this trio, Lemmy, Fast Eddie, Filthy Animal Taylor, they recorded a single Leaving Here for Stiff Records. Then they recorded a debut album, which United Artists refused to release. By April 1977, things weren't going well, and Filthy Animal Taylor and Eddie Clark decided to quit the band, so Motorhead did a farewell show at the Marquee Club in London. But Lemmy had become acquainted with Ted Carroll from Chiswick Records and asked him to bring a mobile studio to the show and record it. Carroll was unable to get the mobile unit to the Marquee in time, but he showed up backstage after the show and offered them 2 days at Escape Studios with producer Speedy Keen to record a single. So the band took the chance, and instead of recording the single, they recorded a whole album. So Chiswick put out the single, Motorhead, by Motorhead in June, and then a self-titled album in August of 1977. So at their farewell gig, they got their record deal, and so they stayed together. Same month, August 77, that the first album came out, Tony Secunda took over management of the band, but Eddie Clark and Phil Taylor were still performing in another band called The Muggers, and it still seems as if the band was not secure at this point. But they did remain together, and the next year, 1978, they went back to their old manager, Douglas Smith. I don't know what happened with Secunda, but they ended up signing a deal with Bronze Records, put out a single, a cover of Louie Louie, and it was a minor hit. They toured the UK, they did a Peel session, they were even on Top of the Pops, and Chiswick capitalized on this new level of success by reissuing the debut album through EMI. So the success of Louie Louie led to Bronze extending the band's contract, put them back into the studio to record another album. That would become Overkill, came out in March of 1979. The album and the single both went top 40, and the band was off to the races. They played the Reading Festival. Their next album, Bomber, came out in October. The original first album they recorded came out as On Parole. They did a lot of gigs, released a couple more singles, and eventually in August and September of 1980, they hit the studio with Vic Mayle producing to record their next album, which would be called Ace of Spades. And obviously, this is the most famous, most classic Motorhead song and album, Ace of Spades, and Fast Eddie Clark wrote the riff for Ace of Spades. They played Ace of Spades on Top of the Pops, and they were even on a children's show called Tiz Was. They had more chart success in 1981 with the St. Valentine's Day Massacre EP that they did with Girls School. And then in the summer of 1981, they toured North America with Ozzy Osbourne on the Blizzard of Oz tour. Early 1982, they were back in the studio recording their next album, Iron Fist. Came out in April. This would be the last album that Fast Eddie Clark played on with Motorhead. Because the new idea was, after the success of the St. Valentine's Day Massacre EP with Girls School, now Lemmy wanted to do a single, a cover of Stand By Your Man, the Tammy Wynette song, with Wendy O. Williams. And Fast Eddie Clark was not happy with this. Quote from Fast Eddie, "I thought Motorhead was in danger of becoming a laughing stock." So they had a fight over the single, and as you heard at the beginning of the episode, when Lemmy and Fast Eddie reunited on a TV show, Eddie left the band over this. Apparently, Lemmy said, "We'll release it as Motorhead not featuring Eddie Clark." And Eddie wasn't happy with that. He said it was an insult, I think. So, but that's the way I like it, baby. I don't want to live forever. And don't forget the Joker. Eddie Clark quit the band over the Stand By Your Man single, apparently. Or maybe it was just over the overall direction that he perceived the band to be heading in, probably is a more accurate description. It was probably about more than just that one single. Maybe that was the straw that broke the camel's back. Apparently he felt the song compromised the band's principles. He refused to play on the recording and quit the band. But, you know, it was during Eddie Clark's tenure with Motorhead that they got the reputation for being one of the loudest bands in the world. This is a quote from Fast Eddie about that. Man, it wasn't our fault. I was forever trying to hear myself, so I was forever adding fucking amps over my side, and Lemmy was just adding more and more on his side, and then Phil had bigger monitors. It was each one of us because we never interfered with each other's stuff. So it sounds like they got louder and louder as they competed to hear each other over each other. So this brings us to 1983 when Fast Eddie Clark hooks up with Pete Way, bass player from UFO, who had just quit UFO for similar reasons of not liking the commercial direction, supposedly, of the band. So this pair, Fast Eddie Clark and Pete Way, they decide to pursue their shared vision of a sleazier, harder rock band. They recruited drummer Jerry Shirley, formerly of Humble Pie, and an unknown vocalist named Dave King. Of course, Fastway took their name from the combination of Fast, Eddie Clark, and Pete Way, but turns out Pete Way had a record contract with Chrysalis Records that he couldn't get out of, even though he wasn't in UFO anymore. A lot of times record deals will have a leaving member clause where they have first dibs on any future projects that members might do once they leave the band that's under contract. And then there's the story of Pete Way being offered the gig with Ozzy Osbourne for the Diary of a Madman tour, which there's numerous different versions of that, but I don't think he actually ever played with Ozzy Osbourne, even if he was offered the gig. But Pete Way abandoned Fastway without even playing on the album, so they brought in a session bassist named Mick Feat, who was not actually credited on the Fastway debut. Now, this first self-titled Fastway album is fucking awesome. I love it. Now, that first Fastway album, it was a success critically, commercially. They had a lot of buzz. They toured the U.S. with the Scorpions and Rush to promote the album. They, on bass for that tour, they had former Fix bassist Alfie Agius. But after the tour, they recruited a new bass player, Charlie McCracken, who was actually in the band Taste with Rory Gallagher. And he became the permanent bass player at that point. So the band enters the studio and they've got some buzz, they've got some momentum, and they record a second album all fired up. Not as good as the first record, but still a pretty cool, heavy record. And they went on tour across Europe with AC/DC for the Fly on the Wall tour. But after the tour, their rhythm section, Jerry Shirley and Charlie McCracken, both quit and left the band. This is a quote from Fast Eddie. "The first album was great and exactly as I planned it. Then the Suits got involved and fucked everything up, and that was that." So I don't know exactly what that means. All Fired Up still seems to follow the template of the first album pretty well. It is on the next album, though, where they add a lot of keyboards. That was the sound at the time, and in retrospect, it's probably easy to go back and blame the record label or whatever, the producer. But regardless, they made the record. Waiting for the Roar with a new lineup. They added a second guitar player, Shane Carroll, bass player named Paul Reed, and a drummer named Alan Connor, who was actually in Dave King's first band, Stillwood. like I said, Waiting for the Roar, much more of an AOR record than a hard rock record. I guess it was disappointing to fans of the first two records, and it didn't find enough new fans, so it was a failure. It was an attempt in 1986 of, you know, having a successful record, and this is what stuff sounded like in 1986. You know, we see a lot of bands going through these identity crises at this time when a lot of bands are having a lot of success. And of course, this is their job. This is their career. They want to sell records. They want to make a living. So they end up making a certain kind of album and it doesn't work out. And then in retrospect, they say that sucked. But at the time, you know, they had certain goals, certain objectives. But the band regroups. They get this deal to make the soundtrack for this horror film that ends up being a pretty terrible movie called Trick or Treat. Bad movie, great soundtrack, because Eddie Clarke even says that it was a return to form for the band, and it got them some more buzz, but unfortunately Dave King, the singer, quit the band, and so even for the video After Midnight for the song from the soundtrack, the guy who was the actor in the movie, he actually lip-syncs the song in the video because Dave King was out of the band. So they put out this great record, mostly new songs and a couple of songs from the first album. The new songs are killer. I've played songs from this record on the soundtracks episode before. I love the Trick or Treat record by Fastway. And it was high quality stuff, and they had a buzz, but the singer quits.
Till this box fly, get you, get you.
The soundcheck was moderately successful, but, you know, without the singer, it was kind of over at that point. Regardless, Eddie Clarke decided to relaunch the band in 1988, and he recruited vocalist Lee Hart to relaunch Fastway. And I actually interviewed Lee Hart on episode number 59 of the podcast. So Eddie Clarke and Lee Hart together, they put out two records as Fastway, On Target and Bad Bad Girls. Incredibly different sounding from the original Fastway material, but I like a lot of the songs on this album. I think Lee Hart is a very talented songwriter, which is why I did a whole episode with him. If you want to go back and hear his whole story, he did a lot, made a lot of great music with the roll-ups and Yeah Yeah and everything else. So I love Lee Hart, very talented guy. But the version of Fastway with Lee Hart didn't really go anywhere. So that was the end of that until May of 2007 when Eddie Clarke decided to relaunch Fastway again with Toby Jepsen, former singer from Little Angels, on vocals. So they did some festivals and actually ended up hitting the studio to record a new album, which came out in 2011, a Fastway album called Eat Dog Eat, with Toby Jepsen on vocals. In 1994, Fast Eddie put out a solo album, as Fast Eddie Clark called it, Ain't Over Till It's Over, which is a pretty heavy, more Motorhead-y even than Fastway-y sounding record. Fast Eddie sings every song except one song, which is sung by Lemmy. Let's hear my favorite song from the record by Fast Eddie Clark, sung by Fast Eddie Clark. It's a song called Naturally.
Talking all around.
So not only did Fast Eddie relaunch Fastway, but in 2014, he put out a blues rock record, kind of going back to his original blues rock roots. The album's called Make My Day, Back to the Blues. And now to play us out.
What does that mean, to play us out? I don't know what that means, to play us out. What does that mean? To end the show?
Yeah.
So this album came out in 2014, and I think it's the last released work by Fast Eddie Clark. Rest in peace, Fast Eddie. Thanks for all the great music. And let's end the episode with a song from Fast Eddie's album Make My Day from 2014. This is called Heavy Load.
Well, I was saying, when you're down my way, all I wanted was my own way. Well, on the road, I was a soul, I was alone, and I was on my way back home, but I couldn't see, 'cause I was stoned. Without a red light, and I was making for another party night. But I was saying what I could make.
Back.